I can't preach long tonight. I threw half my message away and I started over, so. But as long as God has his way, that's what I want. Amen. Exodus chapter 15 and verse number 20. It says, "And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, 'Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea.'" Amen. Well, they were pretty excited at that time, weren't they? Amen. Jesus, we love your word, God. By your word, all was created. By your word, we'll be saved one day, God. By your word, you'll preserve us, protect us, bless us. And Jesus, we just want to learn a little bit more about you tonight, God. We'd pray, Jesus, that you would help me to preach this word to this great people. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The influence of one person. Amen. Miriam decided to grab a timbrel and to praise God. The Bible tells us that there were more than one timbrel there. In fact, there were many of them. But she grabbed hers and said, "You know what? I want to worship God. I want to begin to praise God for what he has done. We've been in Egypt for over 400 years. We've been waiting for a promise to get out of here. We've been ruled over by taskmasters. And it hasn't been fun." So when God made a way and brought them through the Red Sea and parted it, and they could see the soldiers laying in the water dead the next morning, finally relief was in sight. Salvation had come to them. And she wasn't going to just stop at that, but she felt God was worthy to be praised. Amen. She began to take that timbrel and begin to dance before God with all her might. And the rest of the women saw it as well. And they said, "Well, you know, there's timbrels here. I've got one. Let's join her." But because of her making a decision, basically everybody began to praise God at that point. And tonight I want to talk about one person's influence upon many. And I want you to think about your life, that you could be an influence to many as well. And so could I. And there's opportunities that may arise in our life that if we would just do something when God sets the stage, maybe it would help influence others to join us as well. Amen. Exodus 15 and 1, Moses and the children of Israel sang a song unto God. He said, "I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider, he thrown it into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his hosts hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned into the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in greatness and thy excellency thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath and consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The floods stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with the wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Amen. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By thy greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as a stone, till thy people pass over, O Lord, till thy people pass over, which thou hast purchased. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. Man, it was time to have a party. Amen. It was time to celebrate. I don't know if you've ever felt like that before. Of course we have. We have been in our own wilderness for years. And God snatched us out of it. We did pass through the waters of baptism. Amen. And there was a time where we were just at that moment filled with God's Spirit. Everything brand new. And song service, you couldn't wait for it to start. Amen. But I pray that's still within us. We still love God. We still think back at where he brought us from. Amen. But they've been in bondage for 400 years, and Miriam decides to have a worship service. Verse number 20, it says, and Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. Amen. They had them, but Miriam began to use hers, and everybody joined her, and there was a celebration. Sometimes it just takes one person to say, this is worthy of a celebration. This is worthy of praise to God. Amen. But it looks like they needed somebody to take charge. Amen. Glory to God. Sometimes there's this somebody that just needs to step in and take charge of the situation. Say, you know what? Let's praise God. Amen. Because we have all been set free of bondage as well. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now we have obtained mercy. You know, I don't even want to look at hell. I don't even want to see hell. But Jesus talked about eternal damnation. And if he, the Creator, came to earth to stop the process of some of us going there, and some of us had it stopped, that's why we're here tonight. That's something to get crazy about. Amen. And there's times where you just may be that one individual that wants to worship God with everything you have, but nobody else is doing it. Amen. So what do you do? Glory to God. Sometimes our flesh is looking for excuses. Well, you know, I don't want to be the only one up there. It's all right. Drag your flesh up here. Yeah. Amen. Have you ever heard that song? I remember growing up for years. I in the church, young. I've got a right. I've got a right to praise the Lord. I've got a right to lift my voice. It was songs like that. It was like, yeah, man, I got a right. You know, I should praise God tonight. But I hope we never get too old and too sophisticated. It was like, yeah, I did that. Yeah, I know how to do that. So I don't have to do it so much because I'm really good at it. So I'll do it like on a Sunday night. We all need more practice. Amen. We all need more worship. Amen. You cannot out-worship God. You can't worship him too much. And if one person is tired, but yet they decide, I want to worship God, maybe there'll be two, maybe there'll be five, 10, 20. Somebody gets healed. Somebody thinks about being baptized. I wonder if it could have all started with that one individual that said, I should worship God tonight. You know what? I'm tired. I've got a headache, but I just want to lift up my hands. I want to lift up my voice. God's been good to me. He took me off that road. He took me out of that place. I was blind. I didn't even know it. I was heading to hell. I didn't even know it. I thought I was okay. And I said, I didn't want that Bible study. I don't want anything to do with that church. But God kept leading somebody to me. I said, I don't want to be part of that. But God still, in his mercy, said, I'm going to send somebody else to you. Amen. And to think that I could be out there doing something, whatever, and not even know that there's a baptism to be baptized with. There's an infilling of the Holy Ghost. So I've got a right to praise the Lord. Amen. I've got a right to lift my voice. Ain't nobody got a right like the children of the Lord who've seen the light. I've got a right. Amen. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and I've got a right. One person, just one person that said, you know what? My God, we don't have to go back to Egypt. My God, the waters come down, and look at the land. We're all by ourselves. We got our family. We got our children. We don't have to go back. I don't have to take the beatings. Amen. So I can understand why the dancing and why the shouting. Glory to God. And maybe that's why some churches can't worship God, because they truly haven't been saved. Amen. First Samuel chapter 14, if you would please turn there. The Bible's full of examples of people that just decided to do it. Do something that sounded good, looked good, and thought, God should bless this. There's nothing wrong with this. I think God will be for us. Let's do it. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 1, it says, Now when it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, Come, and let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side. But he told not his father, Saul. But Saul, in verse 2, tarried in the uttermost part of Gilba under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron, and the people that were with him were about 600 men. And Ahiah, the son of Ahiatab, and Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, wearing an ephod, and the people knew not that Jonathan was gone. And between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over unto the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side, and the name of the one was Bozaz, and the other was Sena. And the forefront of the one was situated northward over against Michmash, and the other southward against Gibeah. And Jonathan said to his young man that bare the armor, Come, let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. Amen. Wow, I love that. Amen. There's no restraint to God, whether he wants to use one of us, two of us, 10 of us, 100 of us. Amen. That's the mentality I want to have. Amen. Like even tonight, I was kind of joking. I looked at Wednesday night. It looked like there was 30 people here. But really, I was thinking, there's no restraint. I know there's only a small amount of people, but there are enough people here that want to worship God, and that's really all that matters. And if those few people that are here tonight would say, well, there's no restraint with God, what he could do here tonight. I know that so-and-so might be at work, so-and-so is traveling, they're gone, they're out there. They're not all backslidden, they're just gone. But God could be here. Amen. There's no restraint to what God could do on a Wednesday night. But I wonder if there's little voices going, well, you know, there's just not enough people here like Sunday night. So, you know what? I think I'll just sit in my pew and we'll take it easy tonight because we can get with it Sunday. But what if that one person said, you know what? I want to be that one person to make a difference in someone else's life. So I'm going to grab the timbrel per se. I'm going to worship God with everything that I have. And maybe that'll spark something to somebody else. Maybe somebody's so far gone spiritually, like this might just be my last service here. I'm pressed up against the wall. I'm up against the corner. Things aren't working out. But because you lifted up your hand and you said, you know what? Life's not so good for me right now either, but I know where the answer is. And there's no restraint to God. If I come up here, and even though I've had a lousy day, and I thought things were working out, but they're not working out. But inside your heart, you're saying, man, God is not going to let me down. I've seen him move mountains. And I'll see him move them again. But the power of one could change 5, 10, a service. And that person that didn't feel like they would ever come back melted at the altar and said, God, would you give me a second chance? And there's things we'll never see, never know, never understand. But I gotta believe when I worship God and there's a song service, things are happening spiritually. I think God didn't just say, gather all the more just because. Amen. I think God wants to do something. Amen. But there is no restraint to our God, whether we have few or we have a lot. Saul can, with his 600 men, take a break because he's full of fear. But his son is, you know what? I know dad's taking a break, but I believe God could help us take the army of the Philistines and run them out of here. Amen. He put his life at risk, but God honored him. God blessed him. Prayer meetings, whether they're at home, whether they're here, maybe it's just you at home, but if your attitude is, there's no restraint, I'm going to pray this afternoon. And I believe God's going to make a difference. Maybe you could find something else to do to be entertained. I get that. I think it's part of us. We like to be entertained, but when we get to the point we think, you know what, I'm sick of the entertainment. I don't need it. It's not doing anything. Why don't I take 30 minutes and get a hold of God? Instead of running down the road listening to the radio, maybe I should push it off and say, you know what, God? I got 5 minutes. I got 10 minutes. Maybe I ought to just talk to you. Because there's no restraint. There's no restraint what God can do with 5-minute prayer. Amen? I probably don't have to read you the story of David and Goliath. I think you were raised on that story. But how this young boy could stand in an army and say, isn't there a cause here? Why are you letting him defeat you? I mean, I've been looking all my life to be a part of this army, but now that I'm here, I ran you guys cheese, I brought you food, and you're just standing here? Isn't there a cause? Isn't our God great enough to take that clown down? One boy. Because there's no restraint. Of course, he had to put up with his brothers. Told him to sit down. You don't know what you're doing. You're just prideful. But he's like, no, God would honor this. God would bless this. Amen. If we always looked at things in our lives and asked ourselves, would God want me to do that? Would God be pleased with that? If so, let's do it. But it's just you. It's okay. Amen. I love God. I'm just going to do it. Amen. Maybe someone will join me. Amen. You know, I'd like the devil to be a little concerned when somebody gets the Holy Ghost. I mean, really. If all he sees us is sit on the pew and really just, you know what, return back to where we were, maybe getting the Holy Ghost to him isn't such a big deal. But maybe if we got filled with the Holy Ghost and began to turn our world upside down, maybe he would be a little bit more fearful. Amen. Just one person. God, if it needs to be me, you know what? Then that's what it needs to be. But I can't be focused on the world, focused on so many other things that I'm not aware of where God wants me and what God wants me to do in any given situation. Acts chapter 3. You probably know the story where Peter and John, they walk into the temple at the hour of prayer. They see a lame man, but they come in already filled with the Holy Ghost. And when he asks of alms, Peter stops and he says, look on us. Silver and gold have we none. But such as I have, I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I mean, he wasn't waiting for the rest of the people to come out of the temple and say, hey, let's have a prayer meeting. This guy here, he's been sick. Why don't we all pray for him? And there's nothing wrong with that. What I'm trying to say is just one man, Peter, said, you know what? I'm going to pray for him right here. Who knows what will happen, but I believe God would be pleased if I stopped and I said, you know what, can I pray for you? Right? Amen. That led to a revival of 5,000 people being saved. Just one man. I guess two, Peter and James, but a man of faith. Not knowing what was going to happen down the road, the persecution, amen, but he's in the will of God. I'm going to the house of God, but I'm going to stop. I'm going to pray for somebody, amen. Not waiting for a group, but I just want to be that one person that might spark somebody else, that might spark more people, and before we know it, it's a norm, amen. But in order for all the people to see the miracle, one person had to have the faith and to stop and say, look on us. We don't have silver and gold, but we've got something you need. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 4, verse 15. If you could turn there, please. Luke chapter 4. Unless you have it memorized. Let's try Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Amen. I want you to focus on the word me. Amen. Not me, but you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent... He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. But the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Man, we got the Holy Ghost to do something, right? Amen. But what could me do? Amen. This is where being a Christian can be exciting. And really, we're only on this planet once, right? So we might as well have the best time that we can to do the best that we can for God before we are gone and we never have another chance. But I want to live my life a little bit more on the wilder side of trying. And if I fail, if I make a mistake, it's okay. Amen. But I want to try laying my hands on the sick outside of these walls. Amen. I believe God has anointed us, me, to do some things. Amen. That maybe just one of us may have an opportunity at a certain time to do. But then it might turn into more and more. And there may be times when you're all alone. But God has anointed you. He has anointed me to do things that sometimes we'll be alone. And we'll have to look at a sinner and say, you know what? There is a God. He can heal you. He can get you out of this. Amen. And if you're out with your friends eating pizza, and I know pizza's good, but what if just one of them, young men or young ladies, said, you know what? While we're here, why don't we do this? Why don't we go talk to that person over there? What? Why? Because I think God would want us to do that. And I think God would bless it. It'll only take a minute. Let's, you know what? God's not limited. Amen. But God has anointed me to do something. But just like Miriam, who grabbed the timbrel, she provoked others to do it as well. And I think we should provoke one another unto good works, like the Bible says. Amen. There's enough evil in the world, people provoking others to do evil. But the church needs to provoke each other unto good things. Amen. If you would stand. I hope that wasn't too long. But I want to keep my eyes open, my ears open, look for opportunities of where God can use me, even me, because there's got to be a reason why he poured his Spirit within me. Say, you know what? Why don't we just try that? Why don't we just do that and see what God will do? That one of us could encourage a handful. Amen. I think we all need to be encouraged. I don't think we all run 100% all the time. There's times we'll come in here a little tired, a little weak, a little down. But thank God there's somebody that comes up to the altar. Thank God there's somebody that wants to worship, that'll cause me to worship. Amen. So I just want to open the altar right now and talk to God. Amen.